Goodman Plumbing makes a living by servicing their clients' needs. They make their life by how they service their clients, from the first phone call to when they leave your home when the job is done. Goodman Plumbing is dedicated to providing top-of-the-line quality work. Call Goodman Plumbing. That's with a P, as in your preferred plumber.
Goodman Plumbing, how can we make you smile?
Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, we got a faith debate show going on, baby.
There we go.
Because the truth matters, baby. Oh, sorry. Man. You know, you don't really care. But some people, I was talking to somebody recently, and they said that one of the things they love about radio is when sometimes they learn kind of the inside scoop of what's going on.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So we're going to give you, if you live for that sort of thing, we're going to give you a little bit of inside scoop. Last week, as if you listen to the show before, you know that this show is not live. These guys are pastors, baby. They're working on the weekends. You know what I'm saying? So they're not. I mean, after a long, hard day of everybody else is relaxing and chilling on Saturday.
Yeah.
But Robert Quintana is busting his behind because he's a pastor at a Seventh-day Adventist church.
Yep.
He's working hard on
Saturday.
My
busiest day.
So he sleeps in late on Sunday.
Amen.
And then, even though you get up early to listen to your show?
I do. I have been.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, so he gets up to listen to his show, the new show Anchor Points, which airs on the WFMD Sunday morning, 7:30 to 8.
And it's weird to listen to myself
on
the radio.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird to listen to you in person, too, by the way. But anyway.
We all sound weird. We're in this together.
So Jonathan
just don't get any better than this.
Jonathan Switzer, you know, he's the senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, and, about every third week he preaches, so he's got things to work on and get ready for on a Sunday morning, so he's not going to come in here.
Yes.
So we record the show in advance. In fact, I think the record is we once recorded a show 8 months in advance. No, that's not true.
Oh.
But sometimes they get recorded a little bit in advance. Well, anyway, we were recording.
Yeah.
Feels like 12 years ago.
Yes.
In a different studio than we're in right now.
Yes.
And the mics weren't working. I couldn't figure out the levels. And I don't know, the first 10 minutes, I'm submitting that for a Marconi Award.
Yes.
That's award-winning radio, that first 10 minutes of last week's show.
Yes.
If you missed it, check it out online. Listen to the podcast, WFMD.com, keyword faith, or go to the audio vault. You don't want to miss the classic bad radio.
That was Red Bull World.
Yeah. And then we were hyped up on sugar. Or I don't know if we were snorting cocaine in the back room or something, but that was just weird.
Uh-oh.
That was bad news.
Yes.
Filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Some churches might identify it that way.
So then we get everything figured out, and Frank in the basement comes to our rescue and gets us set up.
And he wasn't even supposed to be here. He was like a hero.
No, you know what, Frank?
Walked in.
If you're listening right now, just between you and me, they should start charging you rent.
That's right.
He's here all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we'll put one in for Frank.
Frank, you got to start picking up some of the property taxes.
If you're listening, just call in. What's a WFMD number? Call in and say, we want a raise for Frank.
What is it? I think it's 301-694-WFMD.
301-694-WFMD.
I think that's the on-air number anyway.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. This is all meaningless. I feel like this is, you know, that comedy show, you know, the sitcom.
So anyway,
Seinfeld.
Now we're in the big boy studio. This is where Bob Miller and Blaine Young broadcast.
No, this is huge.
Right here.
This is huge.
I'm not going to wash this shirt.
Why start now?
Right. You know.
So this has been an odyssey. So now you don't really care, but I'm not going to get it off my mind until I just give voice to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need to vent.
Yeah. This is now our third show doing the second show.
this is our third.
This is the third time we're doing this show.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, the first two shows weren't that good, and this one won't be either. So you won't miss anything. But we're doing we've done the first 4 minutes of this show three times.
That's
three right. times.
Hence the reason why it seems so polished when we're doing it this particular time. You're just amazed at how smooth we are with our transitions.
So anyway.
That's why. Yes.
Yes. So you are listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. And because of all the histrionics from last week, I neglected to mention something that I wanted to mention.
Oh.
Last week, as the show aired, it was my wedding anniversary. So,
congratulations!
Happy anniversary,
Troy.
Honey. It's
what year is that?
What is it? 17 years? 18 years?
Oh, 18
that's
years.
Fabulous.
That means you're no longer like, you know, the toilet paper, you know, year, you know, but now you're like getting into precious metals or something. Doesn't it mean that?
Yeah,
you know,
titanium or something.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I think it's dirty plutonium or something.
Yeah. So what you should do is take her for your anniversary to see Iron Man. Right? That would be appropriate since it's a titanium.
I don't think my wife. Yeah. I don't think she'll be into the Iron Man show.
Yes.
So last week, if you were listening to the show, we were talking about the Sabbath because Robert's with the Frederick Seventh-day Adventist Church, and they recognize the Sabbath as being Friday night to Saturday night. Jonathan's with a non-denominational Protestant church, and the majority of Protestant churches, the majority of modern-day Christian churches would celebrate or recognize
99%
the Sabbath, I guess.
0.9, right?
As being Sunday.
Yeah. It's quite a bit.
Well, I don't know the numbers. How many Adventists are there around the world?
Last I saw, which I think was about a year ago, we're looking at about 15 million worldwide.
15 million worldwide.
Yeah. It's not just the Adventists, though, right? I mean, you've got the Messianic Jewish people, and you've got a Worldwide Church of God,
Seventh-day Baptist.
So there's some other
Seventh-day
groups.
Seventh-day Methodist.
But they're definitely a minority, 1% probably?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, good. Do you feel outnumbered?
I do.
Okay, good. We just want to establish that sense of intimidation before we even get started.
So last week we had our word of the day was Adventist.
Yeah.
This week the word of the day is justification. Word of the week, I guess. Word of the week is
justification.
So which one of you wants to explain what justification means?
Have at it, Robert.
All right. Well, justification, the way that I see it, is the beautiful message of the gospel, the good news. Jesus Christ, being God, became man, Emmanuel, God with us, lived on earth for the purpose of dying on the cross for our sins. And the good news, as told in the New Testament by Paul, by so many, that if you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you're justified of your sins. In other words, those sins will not be held accountable, will not be held
to your account.
To your account,
you. Yeah.
Exactly. But that you've been justified of those sins, you're covered by the blood, by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, and you're justified.
And so if you can't tell, Robert is clearly a Muslim. No, I mean, he's clearly a very orthodox in his description of what justification means in a Christian environment.
Definitely.
And if you're used to some of the, you know, Christianese or Christian jargon or biblical language, you could even say that, you know, you'll hear people talk about justification, sanctification, glorification.
Yep. Mm.
All right, so now we've talked about what justification is, and towards the end of last week's show, Jonathan was trying to make a point of clarification
about sanctification.
About sanctification and what role, if any, proper worship of Sabbath plays in
growing into sanctification.
Yeah, so, and Robert wasn't 100%. I'm not sure if you were unhappy with how Jonathan maybe was characterizing your
point. Well, then I threw in
point.
Something about Catholicism.
Yeah.
And so he had 30 seconds to answer, so I totally ambushed him last week. So here's his chance to come back.
You have a chance to ambush Jonathan.
Yes. Definitely. All right. Yeah. Well, I think I did mention this last week when I was talking about, I kind of mentioned justification and sanctification. In that once we enter into this covenant relationship with Christ,
yep,
and we accept him into our lives,
yeah, that's good,
that he calls us to a standard to live by, and he calls us to, and really it's not, you know, for anything else, but for us to live our best life, for us to live the best that we can, to live out his purpose in our lives. And so, having said that, that's where I believe, you know, the Ten Commandments come in. Some of the principles of some of the laws that we find in the Old Testament, I say principles of because from a Seventh-day Adventist perspective, we break down the laws of the Bible basically in four categories. So if I may, just real quickly,
yeah.
The first one, natural laws, the Bible talks about. And so we see natural laws like gravity. We see Jesus Christ raising, you know, Lazarus from the dead, you know, things like that. The second would be civil laws, which were given to the people of Israel. you know, through those civil laws were given for people to live in community and work well with one another, sure, and operate good with one another.
Sure.
The third category would be the ceremonial laws that were given to the people of Israel to point forward to Christ dying on the cross. Everything was, you know, for to point forward to that. Now, real quickly,
and what's the last set of laws?
And I'll tell you real quick in just a second. But for me, those three first categories do change, can change. In other words, the natural law can change through divine intervention or a miracle. You know, someone may be diagnosed with cancer, and through a miracle, God can change the natural law of
that. You're not one of those crazy wackos that believe in the supernatural, are you?
I do believe in divine intervention and a miracle.
Ooh,
certainly.
Huh? Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Too much sugar in Troy's coffee tonight.
And then the second, you know, the civil laws. Obviously, the civil laws were given for people to you know, work well and
they were given
by
Abraham Lincoln, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Civil laws during the Civil War, I think.
Yeah. And just like the civil laws in our day today can change, you know, we may decide to move the speed limit from 35 to 25. You know, those civil laws, I think there's room for, I think that there's principles in the Old Testament from those civil laws that we can learn from.
So in your mind, just to clarify, civil laws are different from civil rights.
Yes.
Civil laws have to do with civilization and
exactly
how we get along in
exactly
civilization.
Exactly. Like, for instance, you need to go certain, you know,
stoplights.
Exactly.
Stop
and
signs.
In the Old Testament, you know, make sure and go a certain distance away from camp to relieve yourself.
Yeah, civil laws like that.
Yeah. And then the third being the ceremonial laws were obviously done away with at the cross as Christ fulfilled those ceremonial laws. So all those three, from an Adventist perspective, change. Or can be changed.
Yeah.
Now the fourth set of laws, which is I think where
which ones of those would include dietary laws?
That would be the natural law.
Okay.
Exactly. And so then the fourth category of laws would be the Ten Commandments or the moral law of God. And Adventists see those as unchanging, as eternal, you know, that were there from the very beginning and will be there all throughout.
Now, Jonathan, do you break out the laws in the Old Testament along a similar structure?
I have tended to break the laws in the Old Testament into ceremonial.
You could have just stopped right there, as you just tend to break the laws of the Old Testament.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Troy is you are in full mojo tonight.
He is,
It is exciting here in the big boy studio.
That's what he says on the air. Exciting.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait till the mics are off.
That's right, because the politician in me. So I'd say ceremonial laws and moral laws, and I would probably include what's a better term for it? The term's not coming to me, but laws having to do with
like feast days? And
yeah, feast laws.
That wouldn't be part of the ceremonial laws in your mind?
Would you include feast laws with the ceremonial laws?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I don't know if I would I would make a distinction there or not. And then I guess I would recognize that there are civil laws. Give me an example of a natural law in the Old Testament.
A natural law in the Old Testament?
The natural law is not delineated necessarily in the Bible because you're talking about like gravity
and
death. So it's not like the natural law is not revelatory.
Yeah, it's not like spelled out I don't think in either the old or new, but you know, in the Old Testament, like in the book of Job, when God's talking to Job about, you know, the universe and, you know, can you bind, you know, Pleiades, or can you hold, you know, he's talking about these universal natural laws that are out there. And then, of course, in the New Testament, you know, we see him walking on water. Well, I mean, you know, obviously something miraculous had to happen for him to walk on water, changing the natural law, which says if you walk, you'll sink. You sink, exactly.
You have greater density than that which you walk upon.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, but yeah, not anything necessarily spelled out particularly, but that's kind of how
just
we break
for clarification,
it down.
In the Adventist orientation, are you guys at all oriented towards the a 7-year sabbatical and 50-year jubilee?
No. We don't practice that. No.
Interesting.
I think that there are some principles from those things that we can learn from, definitely.
Those you would include maybe in the civil?
Correct,
no, ceremony. Yeah. You're calling those ceremonial, aren't you?
Because
those have to do with feasts and laws having to do with feasts and holy days and that
kind of
thing.
Maybe it's a combination because also it's about debt relief and that sort of thing too, which would be civil, right?
So I think it could be a combination of both.
So you're not sure where those exactly would fall. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so now Jonathan was trying to make the point last week, or I don't know if he was trying to make the point. He was asking the question at least about whether or not fulfilling that moral law, because you're saying that the other three have either somehow, like the natural law just is,
mm-hmm.
the ceremonial law has been fulfilled in Christ.
Correct.
The civil law no longer applies because it was set up for Old Testament Israel.
For that context, that culture, that society.
So now what we're left with is the moral law.
Correct.
And Jonathan, if I try to paraphrase, is basically asking, so are you saying that by fulfilling that moral law, which would include the way you've just defined it with the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. the Sabbath, what's the right word I'm looking for? Is that what causes our sanctification to move forward, causes us to grow into sanctification?
Yeah, no, I don't think, let me answer and then you...
Let me see if I can say it. What? The more sanctified you are, the more likely you are to be following the moral law. The result of sanctification is that you're coming into alignment with God's.
Of course, Jonathan can frame it better
purpose.
Than I could.
Yeah,
it was his thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do believe that that along with all the other commandments, like thou shalt not kill, honor your father and mother. I mean, you can, you know, through the whole list.
Those are good ones. I like
those. Yeah, those are very good, right? Yeah. But I mean,
you like those?
They're in my top 10.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is remembering the Sabbath
like that,
day.
Troy.
Keeping,
that
is
was
remembering
well put.
The Sabbath
I'm going to have to remember that.
What's that?
Is the Sabbath in your top 10?
Is it as a moral law?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
It gets a little tricky, doesn't it?
I'll give you my point of view for what it's worth a little bit.
Okay.
But I do want to hear, Robert's response. By the way, Robert Quintana, senior pastor at Frederick Seventh-day Adventist Church, and Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. I'm Troy Skinner. This is The Faith Debate on WFMD. I want to hear Robert have a chance to kind of explain either how, yes, Jonathan, you're characterizing that correctly, and here's why, or no, I think you're not quite characterizing it exactly the way I as an Adventist would, and here's why. So what's the response?
No, definitely. And this is where I think it's a very delicate issue and where I think it gets misconstrued in many circles. Because when we're talking about the sanctification of an individual, I think it's a very personal thing between God, the Creator, and the creation who He's trying to recreate. So it's hard for me as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian to stand in judgment of anyone else and say, well, because you're not keeping the Sabbath, or because you chose to kill somebody, or because you chose to, you know, dishonor your parents, or because you chose to commit adultery or whatever, you're less sanctified than I am. Because in my opinion, sanctification is a process of a lifetime. And on this journey that we're on with Christ, he is constantly leading us to that higher standard. A standard, by the way, I don't believe we will reach while here on earth. And that is the reason why Christ had to come and live out that standard, that, you know, perfect harmony with the law of God, and then have the opportunity then to die on our behalf.
So you're not Wesleyan.
Yeah.
For those who are theologians listening, you know, Wesley did believe that reaching that perfect sanctification, reaching perfection this side of heaven was something
attainable.
That was attainable. He never claimed that he did it himself.
Sure.
But he felt like it was a goal that should be pursued.
Exactly.
So, for example, if there's 10 areas of sanctification, you know, this would be one of them.
And, you know, other people maybe have some other ones down pretty good. You know, Adventists focus on this one as being a pretty important one. And so you're not saying Adventists are more sanctified than other people, just that this should be one of the issues of sanctification. And,
or at least one of those things that we need to be growing in. Because I will say that even though you may be a Seventh-day Adventist and you, quote, keep the Sabbath, you may not be... you may not be keeping the Sabbath the way that God intended it to be kept. So even within Adventism and within the doctrine of the Sabbath, there's this spectrum of growth that takes place.
But let me ask, because I think this might be getting at what Jonathan's trying to ask. I think I finally latched on to where Jonathan might be
okay.
going.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave everything else aside.
It might be a first ever.
I think it probably is. So it might be the first time you've had a thought that I could possibly latch onto. You know what I mean? You got to have a thought for it to be latched on.
Oh. Nice shirt that you have today.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's leave everything else aside, because right now the frame of the context mm-hmm. of the conversation we're having is about the Sabbath. So yeah. let's mm-hmm. take everything else and set that aside sure. for now. Yeah, it's not always very smart to compartmentalize your theology this way, but for the sake of this discussion,
sure.
let's focus just on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that as somebody grows in their walk, becomes increasingly sanctified, that if they were to live a life that was infinitely long,
mm-hmm.
that they would eventually, as they increased in sanctification, arrive at a place where they would worship and celebrate the Sabbath
yes.
on Saturday?
Yeah.
And that is a great question. And the short answer to that is yes. And the reason why I believe that is because anyone who has entered into that covenant relationship with Christ hopefully is a student of the Word and someone who is studying the Word vigorously, right? And I think that from here is probably where the debate will go from, is now what does the Bible say? Because if the Bible, being the Word of God, says to worship the seventh day Sabbath, then as followers of Christ, and he says himself, you know, those that keep my commandments love me, you know, goes on. I mean, there's a lot of references that I can make, but if our goal as followers of Christ is to say, okay, now what does the Bible say, the Word of God, how is he asking me to live my life, then I think eventually the conclusion will be I need to worship on Sabbath.
Now, I'm going to find...
Which is very interesting, because I feel like that breeds into even the name Adventism. You know, the point is, if we're looking out... way down, if we all lived 1,000 years, we could be perfectly sanctified, you know.
Sure.
And so everything's returned to an ideal, in the new heavens and the new earth. I would say it's likely in the new heavens and the new earth that the Sabbath day will be on the seventh day of the week, and I would say that that it's very likely that the return of Christ will bring a realigning of those things in a way that is appropriate. But yeah. that's precisely the reason why I feel like it's not that big an issue
mm-hmm.
In this era, you
sure.
know, pre the return of Christ, because, well, there's a whole bunch of things that mm-hmm. are going to be returned. In fact, we probably get into discussions with Adventists about these particular issues, you know, having to do with vegetarianism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly before the flood, it's clear, to me at least, from Scripture that...
Sure.
everybody was vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
After the flood, God gave permission to eat animals as well.
Certain animals
mm-hmm. as well. And that being the case, and in fact, even beyond that, then in Acts 15, we seem to be given permission to eat further animals, you know, like they don't give us any recommendations or instructions about pork or anything like that. They just say, don't be sexually immoral and
sure,
you know,
sure.
the other laws that they address. Again, so my point is that it's clear to me that the world has fallen into a state of disrepair.
Mm-hmm.
And in falling into a state of disrepair, there's certain things that we're supposed to be focused on right now.
Sure.
And to my mind, the Sabbath is simply not one of those things.
Yeah, and to that, I would agree with that.
You know, the moral
that.
Law, honoring your parents, sure. absolutely. You know, stealing, yeah. lying, cheating, coveting, you know, not worshiping other gods. All these other ones, absolutely, 100%. Sure. But trying to bring some kind of alignment on the issue of the Sabbath, I feel like is something that, to quote Obama, yeah. is above my pay grade.
And you know, I would agree.
Christ
I
will do it when he yeah. returns.
And I would agree with that to a certain extent.
Sure.
Because I think that as Adventist, Seventh-day Adventist, because of the uniqueness of the Sabbath, it has become an issue. And I don't know that it's so much an issue to an Adventist as it is to other Christians. And I say that because in making it an issue, we haven't been given the opportunity or the voice to really express our beliefs that are in common with other Christian faiths, like being Christ and being saved by grace. And if Christ be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And the beauty and the, you know, his teachings on how we relate with one another and how we treat one another and how we forgive one another, you know. Now, you know,
it is true that your history has left you in a place, you know, from the Millerite, you know, prophecies, you know, up through Ellen G. White, all the way up through, you know, probably in the early, late 1800s, 1900s, moving in a direction that seemed to be more comfortable to those that would be considered orthodox. It does seem to be the case that you guys have had some, I don't know, and here we are at the end again of the show, but some repair work to do in terms of making those connections. But my sense is that you guys have are, just like you've expressed today, profoundly orthodox in all the major significant areas.
Well, we're going to pick up a little bit more. I think we'll do one more show at least on Sabbath, because there's so much more to be said. Jonathan Schweitzer, Senior Pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. Robert Quintana, Senior Pastor at Frederick Seventh-day Adventist. I'm Troy Skinner. This is The Faith Debate on WFMD. Thanks for listening. God bless.
Goodman Plumbing makes a living by servicing their clients' needs. They make their life by how they service their clients, from the first phone call to when they leave your home when the job is done. Goodman Plumbing is dedicated to providing top-of-the-line quality work. Call Goodman Plumbing. That's with a P, as in your preferred plumber.
Goodman Plumbing. How can we make you smile?